Good morning, everybody. I guess it is a good morning. Packers lost. But anyway, life must move on, right? We must keep going forward. It's good to be together this morning. I'm glad you could make it here. Beautiful Sunday morning. And appreciate Brian's encouragement on the Lord's Supper. And be praying for all that family, that whole family. I thought last week was wonderful. Did you enjoy last week? I loved it. All the tables set up and having a good food, good time together. I don't know if you know this, but about 50 people are behind what happened last week. 50 different people. Everybody from setting up chairs and taking down chairs. And, you know, they were doing this during the holidays when it's crazy. They still made time, volunteered, and got in here with a smile and set things up. Prepared food, made sure it was all good for us. And the video, thank you, Cassie, for putting that together. And then we're all leaving, full, satisfied. They stick around and clean up our mess. And so thank you very much for all of you who volunteered. You made a great, great celebration last week. Praise God. We're starting a new series here. I'm calling it Free Indeed. And I want us to look at, since, you know, here we are this year, the whole year is about our 250th anniversary. I thought it would be, you know, great to start off looking at this idea of free indeed, our freedom. I don't know how many of you have been to New York. I've been to New York a couple of times. And in the harbor, there stands this 300-foot icon, copper icon, that we call Lady Liberty. And it's been there since 1886. It was a gift from France. In fact, there is a plaque that has this poem here, and here it is on the screen. This poem was used to raise money for the pedestal. And look what it says. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shores, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And it raised the money for the pedestal that the statue sits on. This was not the original meaning or the intent. Well, this was never the intent or the message of the Statue of Liberty. I just want to make sure you understand. Immigration was not the message of the Statue of Liberty. Bartholdi, who was the French sculptor, didn't make it to encourage immigration. He made it to commemorate something else. Because, and the thing is about poem raised more than enough money. They built this beautiful pedestal, but it hides the true meaning of what the Statue of Liberty is about. Because at the feet of this ginormous woman are broken shackles, and nobody ever gets to see them. I remember visiting, and you can't see them. But that's really what it's about. It was to commemorate the freedom that our country just went through to free slavery and abolish slavery in our nation. So you would think that as Americans, we would understand freedom better than anybody, right? I would think so. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure. The same freedom that would encourage a country to go, we're going to break free from the tyranny of a king, this same freedom, which has morphed over the years, can also incite a mob to burn down buildings simply because they don't get their way. It's a very convoluted and complex topic, this idea of freedom. I mean, I'm processing freedom when I read the Bible through my American mindset. And it seems that, at least in my opinion here, that our freedom, which started as a national movement, as a nation of people, has somehow morphed and changed and turned into this more personal liberty that's based on a preference or a desire, without a lot of regard of other people. It's very selfish. self-centered. I can do whatever I want. Can you? Well, yeah, you can. But there's laws. And they're there to guide this freedom. It's a tough topic, guys. And as I look at the freedom we have in Christ, you know, the Apostle Paul, you think about it, this struggle with freedom and this call for freedom and the idea of freedom was long before 1776. It was long before the French Revolution or the Russian Revolution. It traces back even into the Bible. The Apostle Paul, writing now, I encourage you to start reading the book of Galatians a lot. Read it over, through several times. Because the theme of this book is be free. It's talking about freedom. And this idea of this cry for liberty, Paul has to make. He's also making this plea because the church is struggling with this idea of what it means to be free. To respect each other's freedom. To give each other margin. You think that's a problem today? I was watching I don't know what it is, but TCM right now is running a lot of World War II films, a lot of Nazi films. And one of them, The Mortal Storm, with Jimmy Stewart, Margaret Sullivan. And the question is, you know, which side are you going to pick? Oh, which side do I pick? And they said, well, the winning side, of course. And at that time, Germany was winning. And that's how we are sometimes. You pick this side or you pick this side, either or. You can't be both. And Paul is dealing with this at Galatia. You see, way back in the garden, God, it was a very free place. But sin just mangled the freedom and turned it into bondage. And so God gives a promise to Adam and Eve that someday someone's going to come and break the chains of bondage that have been established here. That promise would echo into Abraham when he's minding his own business and God says, you know, someday, you know, your family's going to bless many nations. Based on the promise from Eden, I want to bless you and your family, and it will bless many nations. This is before the Ten Commandments, folks. This is before any Levitical priesthoody technicality, you know, all that religious gobbledygook and rules. This is just Abraham putting his faith in God and saying, I'll do what do you want me to do, Lord? Sounds like Christianity, doesn't it? Pretty simple. What do you want me to do? And the Bible says that Abraham's faith justified him. Why? Because he obeyed God. He just obeyed whatever God said. And so he gets this promise. He has one son, which he can't believe he has, but he got to believe it because he's right there, you know. And then his son has all these more sons. And next thing you know, like the promise, like the sands on the sea, sand or the stars in the sky, there's all these people. This family has grown. It's become a nation. Moses is given commandments, laws, to help guide the freedom, the promise that he's given. And so here comes the Jewish nation. God delivers them out of Egypt. God's going to get us out of Egypt into a promised land. Why? Because of a promise. And then here comes Jesus along and he shows up and what's he do? He's there as somebody says when they see him as a baby goes, he's a light to the Gentiles. Whoa, what? He's a Jew. He's a light to the Gentiles. What did God say to Abraham? You're going to bless all nations, not just us, not just our little group, but everybody. And Jesus, like a baby, and somebody goes, he's the light to the Gentiles. What? You can see this is messing with the Jew, the Jewish mind, because they're God's chosen people. They're the chosen family. The world is depending on the Jew to be faithful and bring Jesus. And so when Jesus comes, he goes, yeah, I'm here to bless all nations too. And you see, Jesus does his thing. He dies on the cross, resurrects from the dead, ascends into heaven, and the disciples go into Jerusalem waiting for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes, they begin to speak in languages they've never studied before. People are hearing a Galilean, an unschooled person, a fisherman, these guys, these ragtag guys speak in their language flawlessly. They're amazed at this miracle. They hear the gospel. And all of a sudden you see all of these Jews coming to Christ. Tons of them. It's awesome. 3,000 in Acts 2, 5,000 later, more and more. And then every once in a while, a Gentile. What's that all about? Acts 10, Cornelius, a Gentile. He becomes a Christian. They have to go to headquarters to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we got some problem here. You know, what's going on? Well, we got Gentiles coming in. Even Jews that had become Christians struggled with this. Are they supposed to be in our group too? They're forgetting it's about a promise, not about a bunch of rules. It's about a promise. And so by this time, you know, just a little bit later, the Apostle Paul, the Jew of Jews, outside of Jesus, you know, this guy knows his Bible. He knows the Old Testament. He understands everything. He knows the promises. And it's Jesus has to confront him himself and knock him down and go, I was wrong. Note to self, you can be religious and be wrong. You can have a lot of religious stuff around your life, have a religious pedigree. You can go to church a lot and still be wrong. It's healthy to look at I listened to Jordan Peterson the other day. He's talking about this. He goes, sometimes, he sounds like Kermit the Frog, right? He goes, sometimes we need to, and he starts talking about your thoughts. You should doubt your thoughts, because sometimes your thoughts are not what they ought to be. You ought to be thinking better thoughts and right thoughts, because sometimes your thoughts are wrong. And I'm going, what? It's true. I could think I'm saved and I'm not. I could rely on something I think is true, and I need to check it out. Apostle Paul thought he was saved, thought he was right with God, doing God's will. He was wrong. And he turns, and what's he do immediately? He starts talking to the Jews. And the Jews go, we don't want to hear what you got to say. By the way, Ananias at his baptism reminded him, you're going to be a light to the Gentiles. You're going to be talking to the Gentiles, Paul. So Paul's kind of resistant there. He's talking to the Jews. And they stone him. They beat him up. And he goes, fine. Shakes the dust off his feet and goes, come on, Barnabas, we're going to go talk to the Gentiles. And lots and lots and lots of Gentiles become... What's a Gentile, Tim? Anybody that's not a Jew. So Jews are becoming Christians. Gentiles are becoming Christians. Thousands are turning to the Lord. And a little town in Galatia has got this church. And they are full of Gentiles, a lot of Gentiles. And there's some Jews that are getting nervous because they're watching these people really convinced that Jesus, who they thought was a heretic, they think is the Son of God. And they're using the promises out of their Bible, their Old Testament, to talk about Jesus. And so they're getting kind of riled. And next thing you know, they sneak into these churches. And they sneak into this church and try to mess with it. They tell these Gentiles, we're so excited. We were saved. Yes, Oh, wait. Some Jew who the Bible, according to in Galatians, Paul says are false believers. They're not real believers. Are there false believers at churches? Absolutely. You can count on it. They're posers. They give you the appearance of religion, but they're not. They're not really disciples. And these guys gave the appearance, yeah, Jesus, cool, yeah. And then they get off, have a little coffee or whatever they have back then by themselves. And off to the side, they make these little claims. You know that the Messiah is supposed to come from the Jew, through the Jews. Oh, yeah. Well, guess what? If that's true, you got to be a Jew before you can be a Christian. See how Paul don't know what he's talking about. And the Apostle Paul has to address it. He has to deal with it. Because they're saying, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to follow the Ten Commandments closely. You've got to follow all the ceremony, all of the special days. And Paul's going, what is wrong with you guys? He's telling this to the Gentile. What is wrong with you guys? You're not saved by the law anymore. I wasn't saved by the law anymore. I came into the kingdom like you came into the kingdom. and I was Jewish. We're on the same footing. We both need Jesus. I just happened to know a lot of stuff that was said about him beforehand. And you may not know that. But you're in as much as I'm in. And what it took to get you in, it took me to get in. Listen, everybody around you, do not miss this. You need Jesus just as bad as everybody else in this room. Whenever you start getting kind of big-headed, like you're thinking, I'm pretty good. I got it all together. First of all, God will knock you down and remind you, you're just like everybody else. My grandmother used to say, my grandma Collins used to say, they think their dirt ain't dirty. My dirt is just as dirty as your dirt, and your dirt is just as dirty as mine. We're all in the same boat. We all need Jesus the same. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all need saved. We all need delivered. When we get into sin, we get into bondage like anybody else. Oh, your chain may be a different color, but it's still a chain. Just like mine. And so Paul says these words in Galatians 5. Christ has freed us. I love that. I don't know why. Every translation, it's plural. Freed us. Well, who's us? Jew and Gentile. I've often wondered if maybe Galatians ought to, the theme of it ought to be the answer to racism. Because Paul's, the Jews are wanting to keep Gentiles and Jews separate. Haves and have-nots separate. Male, the Jews are group emphasis. Group, like a Marxist. Group emphasizing different groups. Doesn't the Bible say we're all one in Christ? Neither Jew nor free or slave or Greek. Yeah, we're all one in Christ. We're the group. We're grouped together in Christ. We make up the body of Christ, not several bodies. And he's saying there, Christ has set us free so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Now, I think sometimes we, as Americans, do enjoy the benefits of freedom. Be able to get in your car and drive wherever you want. It's kind of nice. I remember as a kid, got my first car, got in it, drove anywhere, no cell phone, no air tag. How do you keep track? How did mom keep track of me? Gossip. No air tag, no computer. Just roll the windows down and just going down the road. Where are you going? I'm going to Mount Carmel. Why? Because I can. Danny and I are going to the drive-in movie. We're going to stop at Reuben's and get a bunch of burgers and we're going, how many burgers are you going to get? 50? I saved up. We're going to eat until we just pop. We're going to watch, what's the movie? Don't care. Police pulled us over. What do you got in the cooler? Teenagers in the 70s, what do they usually have in the cooler? Danny goes, soda. Let's see it. Yes, sir. We didn't sit there and go, you know, I've got rights as an independent citizen and all this. No, you didn't talk that way in the Midwest in the 70s. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, officer. And Dad always say, if you ever get pulled over, remember to say these words. And he says, where are you going? You always say this, we're going home. We're on our way to the movies. We're just a few blocks away. Where are you guys heading? We're heading home. We turned the car and got out of Mount Carmel. Tough town. Free. The benefits of freedom. Get in a car. Hang out. I can be. Listen, church. Maybe we need to, all of us need to take a better look at the freedom we really have as a nation. Everybody's trying to get in here. Maybe for different reasons, but everybody wants to be here. It must be incredible. But see, I don't know anyplace else. So it's easy to lose sight of that. But the benefits in Christ. Some of you here have grown up going to church. Do you know how free? how good a church you got. Oh, we sometimes forget because this is all we know. He says, oh, the benefits, enjoy them. Therefore, be firm in this faith. Freedom. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Be firm in this freedom and don't become slaves again. I don't want to be a slave again. I don't want to be in bondage again. Paul says, I've set you free from all that stuff, including all these rules that the Jews are trying to jam down your throat. So you've got to think about how you can keep this freedom. What is freedom in Christ? That's what I've been wrestling with for several weeks now, a couple of months, going, how do you talk about this? I call it part one because I think I'm going to have to give you more next week. I need to have some room here. What is freedom in Christ? Let me give you, here's what I think happens, okay? I sometimes can understand what something is by what it does. That makes sense? Sometimes I can understand what it is by what it does. And let me give you two things I know that freedom, like read the scriptures. Here's two of many, but here's two. The first one is it goes like this. Freedom in Christ is freedom from bondage. Now that probably we are more familiar with than anything else, am I right? Of course, we're free from bondage. The bondage of sin. Yeah, we're free from what sin and death, what death can do to us. Because of that, look at this. I love this passage. Psalmist says, the Lord sets prisoners free. He doesn't make prisoners. He sets prisoners free. That's his job. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do in you. He wants you free. I've got a list. I've got 15, 16 different things I want to talk about in this series. You're saying, how long is this going to go? Well, the whole year's about freedom. We'll see. Freedom of worry, freedom of fear, financial freedom. There's a few that we probably go, yeah, yeah, I expect those. How about respecting one another's freedom? What does that look like? How do we honor everybody's freedom? How do we recognize the freedom of other people? The freedom to dance, what's that about? We sing that song, free to dance, so what's that mean? I don't know about you, when I was a kid, I was told by the preacher, dancing's wrong. What's that all about? I thought that was funny. Some of you say, I dance. Are you saying it's wrong? No, not saying that at all. But there's all kinds of topics that we can look at. The freedom to choose. The greatest power you possess is your freedom of choice. Well, what's that about? Mike Denius is going to be preaching 2 weeks on this. He's already let me peer into what he's got. Awesome stuff. There's all kinds of things that the Lord wants to set us free of. I want to talk about the lies of bondage. What are the lies that I believe that hold me back? God says, Jesus said, didn't he say, and you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So why do I feel in bondage? Why do I feel bound, controlled, dominated, feel so powerless? I feel like a prisoner. Maybe it's because you believe something that's a lie. Kind of like an animal. They open up the cage, but they refuse to go out. They can't believe. Really? I could go out the door? You going to shoot me? What is this all about? Some of these lies hold us back. I want us to talk about some of that. The Lord wants us free. It's what he's about. Look at this passage in Luke 4:18. Jesus is at his local church or his synagogue. And he says these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. By the way, the Bible says wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Gary's going to be talking about that. What's that mean? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressors. He's quoting Isaiah. That was a messianic, that was a prophecy about the Messiah, that's what he would do. And Jesus goes, "If today it's been fulfilled. It's going to start right now." And everybody's like, how can this guy say that? Isn't he a carpenter's son? No, He's God in the flesh. You guys have a favorite prison movie? I got a bunch. Will you permit me to share that list? Oh, man. There's so many of them. The Big House with Wallace Beery and Chester Morris. You probably go, what's that? That's an old black and white one. It's awesome. Brute Force, Burt Lancaster. The Birdman of Alcatraz. That's one I'm sure some of you know. That's got Burt Lancaster in it. It's a true, based on a true story. The Bridge Over the River Kwai. That's what they do, you know. And they build this bridge for the enemy. So it's all kinds of these incredible. The Green Mile. Dead man walking. Remember, he opens up his mouth and all these flies come out. What's that all about? Scary. I mean, you probably have your favorite. Cool Hand Luke. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Or The Great Escape. My boys and I, we watched that when they were kids. The Great Escape. Steve McQueen jumping that fence with a motorcycle. Oh, man. True story. Not about the motorcycle, but it's based on a true story. Which one have I left out? The Shawshank Redemption. That's the one. I remember when someone said, have you seen Shawshank Redemption? No, I haven't seen that movie. You need to watch it. And I didn't want to watch it because they recommended it. Well, then I finally watched it. It's one of those movies you can go in anytime you want. It can be in the middle. It doesn't matter. You'll sit down and watch the rest. It's that good. And what do all these prison movies have in common? Control, punishment, misery. That's what they all have in common. They're all trying to get out. They want to be free. Like Andy Dufresne, when he crawls through 300 yards of pfft. And what's he do? He goes, and what a scene. Prison cells, why are they so small? Well, they're trying to save money. That may be one reason, but you know, there's more than one financial reason they do that. They make them as small as they do because they want to control a person and punish a person. And I'll tell you something, church, sometimes the prison cell may not be made out of stone. Sometimes the prison cell is right here. It's right here. In the mind. It's a small space that controls us, punishes us, makes us miserable. And the chains that we wear in this small cell are linked with lies, all kinds of lies that we tell ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'll never amount to much. I'll never kick this. I'll never be able to control this. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares for me. God doesn't care. I'm by myself. All these lies that we tell ourselves. And God says, oh man, I want you free. Paul knew this prison cell. Well, he would say, you know, I did a stir in this prison one time. And he talks about it in another book. That talks about freedom, and that's the book of Romans. Look at these verses here in your notes and up on the screen. Look what he says here in verse 23. But in every part of me, I discover something fighting against my mind. There's a battle in my mind, and it makes me a prisoner of sin. I'm so sorry some of you here feel this way. It breaks my heart that a person that's set free, we're set free, but we feel like this sometimes. I feel like I got this thing battling inside me, in my heart, my mind, and I don't know, Lord, and we pray. I've battled this week on some things, not just what's happened with Sophie, but I had a classmate that I saw at my 50th high school reunion just die this week, and we were close, and it's breaking my heart, and I'm wrestling with it, and it's something fighting in my head, like, why? And I'm asking God, why? Why? Even though I know a bunch of verses, I'm going, Lord, why? Why has this happened? I was going to get with Ardale. We were going to look at the Bible together. And he says that this fight's inside my mind. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a stronghold. Maybe it's an idea. Maybe it's a thought, whatever it is. And it makes me a prisoner of sin that controls everything I do. I take it with me everywhere I go. Notice that word prisoner and control. And it's in his head. And it's in his life because of that. And look at this in the next verse here, verse 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. It's just not working for me. I'm miserable. Who will free me? I need someone to free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death. Who will do that? He doesn't say, I'll do it. I'll do it myself. No. Somebody else is going to have to do this. Who will do it? Who's the warden? I got to get out of this place. Who's got the key to unlock the door? And look what he says in this next verse. I thank God. He has made me free because of what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus has the key. He unlocked the doors. He sets me free. And what did Jesus do? He did what 1.3 million men and women have done since 1775 in America. Died. For freedom. Died so you could be free. If you've ever had your life saved by somebody, you kind of get an idea of what that's like. Jesus says, I'll lay down my life for my friends. You're his friend. I won't serve myself. I'm here to serve everybody else and give myself up as a ransom. I'm here to pay a debt off. Romans 6, look what he says. Paul says, we know that God has caused our old nature to die with Christ on the cross. Where did when did this all take place, Tim? Well, Paul says it took place on the cross. Our old life, our old nature died there. This happened, why? So that God could make us free from the power of sin in our lives. We're no longer like slaves who have sin as their master. I don't know of any greater sound to someone in prison or in jail than to hear these words, you're pardoned, or you're free to go. I'm not going to ask if you've been in jail and someone says you're free to go to confirm that, but I don't know any better sound to hear someone say, when you've been in jail for a while or in prison for a while, hey, you're free to go. No wonder Andy Dufresne's doing this, just soaking it in. He couldn't do it in prison. He couldn't do it at Shawshank, but outside, it's wide open. That's why Red, near the end of the movie, he's walking out, and they open the door, and he's got his funny hat, and he's looking. He just goes out. That's why Brooks, he's panicking. Why? Because he's not sure if he can make it outside, because he is... What did Red say? He's been institutionalized. He's used to the bondage. He's used to the cell. He likes the security. Dwight D. Eisenhower one time said, if you want to be secure, to be fed, have all your medical issues taken care of, go to prison. But guess what? You will not find there after you find all this. You will not find freedom. And God says, I want you on the outside. I want you free. So he'd lay down his life for you and I. I read this. This is a quote up here. Grigorian Banoff, he's a Christian author and stuff. He says this, if I am not free from sin until I die, then Jesus is not my Savior. Death is. But the truth is, Jesus is your Savior. Death isn't. Therefore, Paul says, after all this stuff about all the stuff that's happened to him in his battle, he says, therefore, there's no condemnation. Because Jesus set me free, there's no condemnation. What do you mean no for those who are in Christ? What's that mean? There's no conviction? No conviction. No, there's no conviction. No sentence? No sentence. If you're in Christ, What's in Christ? No condemnation, pardon, release, freedom to those who are in Christ. You in Christ? Have you put your faith in Christ, your trust in Christ? Have you been baptized into Christ? That's what gets you in Christ. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life. What's the law of the Spirit? It's how it is, how the Spirit is. Like the law of gravity, that's how it is. This is what the Spirit, it's God's about delivering people. He's about setting people free. Because the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the what? Law of sin and death. And what's the law of sin and death? To condemn you and to kill you and wipe you out. You're free of that. Praise God, we're free of that. No wonder that's a big point when you read the Scriptures. That freedom in Christ is freedom from bondage. But listen, it's not just enough to be free. Freedom in Christ is not just deliverance. I know a lot, you can be delivered, but that doesn't mean you're free. Not really. You can't enjoy freedom just to be set free. No, freedom carries with it something else. The freedom in Christ calls for personal responsibility. You know, after the American Revolution, they all sat around after Cornwallis finally surrendered, and they went around going, okay, now what do we do? What are we going to do now? And see, well, they had to start figuring out, well, this is what we're going to do with this nation. I'm going to say it like this. Many Americans believe that freedom means I'm free to do whatever I want. I'll drive any way I want. Just go drive in St. Louis. You can drive in Alton too and Bethalto or wherever. And you notice people, some people, they don't think the laws apply to them. They run the stoplight or they cut you off or the traffic laws don't mean anything. I'll do whatever I want. If I don't want to pay taxes, I won't pay taxes. And so I'll cheat. I don't want to buy a sticker. I'm one of these guys that looks at that little sticker on the license plate. I can't believe how many people don't have their stickers updated. Not to say you should update you. That's not the commercial. But I just think it's interesting. We want to find the exception. Well, I don't believe in it, therefore I don't have to accept it. I don't have to obey that. I don't have to respect that. How does that work? If I don't like something, I'll go burn a building down. Really? You can do that? Well, that shows you how desperate they are. Is there another way? No, Tim, there's no other way. Are you sure about that? Does freedom allow me to do this? No. It's not true. Yet there's people that think, I can do this. I can do whatever I want without consequence. I got two statements on your notes here. Liberty is not freedom from responsibility. Liberty is freedom with responsibility. Now, you're going to have to figure out how to define that if that doesn't satisfy you. But liberty is not freedom from responsibility, where I can just do whatever I want. No, it's freedom with responsibility. And it's been this way, by the way. The Bible establishes this principle from the very beginning. Look at this passage in Genesis 2. The Lord told the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden. Wow. How free was it in the garden? Incredible. Wait a minute. Tim, wait a minute. You didn't keep going. But do not eat from the tree of learning of good and bad. For the day you eat from it, you will die for sure. See? He doesn't have total freedom. Yeah, he does. He has freedom of choice. And why is he not... Why God says, I don't want you eating from that tree... What will happen? You'll die. That doesn't sound like some tyrant. He said, man, you have freedom. You better be responsible with it. You better be careful with it. You see, freedom unchecked can quickly spin out of control. I remember I couldn't wait. I don't know if anybody else is guilty of this. But when I was a teenager, about 18, Dad would always say, when you're 18, I want you out of here. Well, I wanted to negotiate. Could we try that at 15? Because I wanted to get out of that prison. Told what to do, when to get up, got to do chores. I want to be free. I can't wait to get, shake the dust off of this little creepy little place and go out and see the world. I can't wait. And I did. Man, as soon as I got, I'm out of there. Yeah, let's see how much ground they plow and how much wood gets cut. Well, I'm gone. Sayonara! I had to wash my own clothes. I didn't know this. Clothes were piled up. I'm going, when's that pile going to get took care of? Mom, wait a minute. Oops. Oops. And food, I had to fix it myself. And bills. Bills were coming in. You owe us this much money. Well, who paid for them before? Mom, Pa. My Pa, you know, my Mom, Pa. You know, being on your own doesn't mean you're free of responsibility. No, you have to think about that. I have to think about that. See, God makes me free, but He wants me to use that freedom. Let me give you two quick ways. Sorry, I'll give you two quick ways here. And we're going to look at some others next week. Two ways I can responsibly use my freedom. If I want to use it, because He calls me for responsibility. Number one, I use my freedom for the benefit of others, not just for myself. Yeah, I'm free. Sure, I'm free. But just because I'm free doesn't mean I can do whatever I want. I have to consider other people. Look at this passage of 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are allowed, you say. One translator says, I'm free to do whatever I want, you say. And look at Paul's responses to the church of Corinth. But not all things are good. All things are allowed. I can do whatever I want, Paul. Yeah, but some things don't help anyone. Just because I have the freedom to do something doesn't mean it's good or I should do it. What may be good for me may not be good for someone else. Years ago, I'm at church camp. We have a kid at camp that cannot be around peanuts. We are told. And by the way, why do you bring up food? Because in Corinth, that's what it was about. It was about food. You know, we can't eat this. I'm not comfortable eating this. And well, I can do whatever I want, disregarding whatever anybody else, you know. And so this kid comes to camp and mom and, you know, I don't want him looking at a peanut. He can't be near peanuts. He can't touch them. He can't do whatever. I go, I think I've got it. Thanks. So here we are. We're having camp and then we have canteen up at the canteen, remember? And here come the peanut M&Ms out and the payday. That's loaded with peanuts. You know, and the kids are eating and they see this camper off by himself because he can't be around it, you know. And we've told him, you can't be around the peanuts. And one of the campers goes, why can't he come up here and eat with us? Is he in trouble? No, he's not in trouble. He just can't be near peanuts. But I'm not eating any peanuts. I'm eating taffy. Well, if you want to go eat with him, you can. I can? Yeah. Well, good. So he's, next thing you know, there's a bunch of them sitting around. And I sit down next to this camper and I go, hey, man, I'm sorry this is what's going on. He goes, well, first of all, Tim, I can touch a peanut. What? Yeah, I could touch a peanut. I just can't eat the peanut. And I could look, I've looked at lots of peanuts. And I've not died. And I'm going, But wait a minute, I was told, I know what you were told, but I'm just telling you, here he's, what is he doing? He's exercising his freedom a little bit, trying to help me understand, see? And next thing I go, well then come on up and join us. We have somebody in this congregation has a strawberry issue. Right? It's not a bad word. I love strawberries. I love strawberries. But I know if I'm around Brian, I know better because he could die. It could really kill him. So that's why we ask, don't bring strawberries and stuff. And sometimes we forget or sometimes we're not thinking or something. It happens. So what? It's not, nobody's going, I'm going to do what I want when I want. I'm not going to have anybody tell me. No, when you know somebody could die from something like being exposed, what do? Okay, I get it. You flex, don't you? Your freedom, I can eat anything I want. That's wonderful, but you know, somebody else may not be able to do that. And it's this idea that just because something's, and it may not, it's not necessarily food, it's all kinds of things. If it's good for me, and I can do it, and I'm free to do it, which I am, may not be free for someone else. I need to consider others. And didn't Paul say that? I should not only look at the interests of myself, but also the interests of others. I can't make my freedom my primary concern. I have to think of others. So what do I do with this freedom? I use it to set aside, listen to me, set aside my right. My rights to help others. And what's that do? I think it creates unity in my family, in my community, in my college campus, in my workplace, that we put up with some things. I don't have to have it all my way. As an employer, as an employee, we do the best we can, don't we? And sometimes we may have, it's difficult. That's what makes freedom so difficult sometimes. But what it does is it encourages every member here to grow when we respect each other's freedom, when we think of others, not just ourselves. Look what Paul says. Here's how he thinks of it. Yes, I am a free man. I am not anybody's slave. Three powerful words right there. But I choose. But I choose to serve everybody, or to serve everybody like a slave. But you don't have to do that, Paul. I know, I choose to. Why? I do that so that I can help many more people to believe in Christ. I want to encourage people to know Jesus. So if he sets me free, I don't just think of my own self and just expect everybody else to get in line. No, I understand. I get it. Here's the second thing I can use my freedom for. Again, we're to use it. We're to use this freedom. We're responsible for this freedom. I use my freedom to serve, not for self-indulgence. Not for self-indulgence. One of the things I admire, those of you who have served in the military, I have great admiration for, and I share that with a lot of people here, is that that those that serve and have served, you still have a sense of duty and obligation. You have this desire to want to give back to a country that's been so good to you. You'll fight anybody to protect the freedom. Listen, our nation will fight other nations. We'll even fight each other sometimes in the name of protecting freedom and having freedom. But you have this sense of obligation, and I think it's wonderful. And the idea of abusing such freedom is just unthinkable in your book. It's not just patriotism. Listen, it's not just a patriotism, an emotional patriotic feeling. No, this is something that goes deep enough that it shapes your life. It clarifies your mission and purpose as an American. What about my freedom in Christ? What's it caused me to do? What will my freedom in Christ stir in me, inside of me? Here's what Peter says. By the way, Peter and Paul got into it over this freedom thing, because he messed up and Paul had to remind him. But he figures it out, because by the time he writes 1 Peter, he's agreeing with Paul. Look, because Peter's a Jew that struggled with this idea of accepting others that were different than him. Look at this. He says, live like free people. Live like, do, but don't use. There it is. Don't use it this way. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. By the way, another word for excuse is freedom. Did you know that? I get a doctor's excuse. It gets me off the hook. Don't use your freedom to just do whatever. Well, I could go get into this. I can always come back to God. Is that how you want to treat the Lord who freed you? You know, no warden wants the guys that have been freed to come back to prison. They don't. They don't want to come back to that place. Neither does the Lord. He says, live as those who are serving God. In other words, if you're free, if you're going to serve anything, use your freedom to serve God. I have this sense of duty. I disregard myself. And I'm not going to abuse the grace of God. I'm going to honor it by serving Him. Look at this next passage, Galatians 5. Here's Paul now talking to that church in Galatia again. My friends, you were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom. There it is. Don't use your freedom as an excuse. There's that word excuse again. To do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. See, liberty does not give me, I don't want to use my liberty as an excuse to do what I want. I want it to be the reason I do what God wants. I want it to motivate me. I want it to motivate you too. And so this morning, as we're starting this series, I just pray that you, as you look at your freedom in Christ, ask, as you appreciate it, let it stir something inside you. This sense of duty, of responsibility, of love, to live free in Christ. Because you're free to go. The cell's open. Celebrate it, enjoy it, respect it in a way that where you live like a free person. There's a card in your bulletin, and maybe you would like to respond to this lesson in some way. Maybe you'd like to write a prayer request or maybe a decision. Are you free? Do you feel free? Why not write, Tim, I don't feel free. Write that down. Let some people pray for you. Let some people talk with you about why don't you feel free? What's holding you back? What's got you? What's around your ankle holding you down? What's the chain that needs to be broken? Because the Bible says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Be praying for this series, church, that we really understand this idea of freedom, that we're going to filter it through our American mindset. That's going to happen. But that we'll also let God, His mind, meld with ours and filter it through the mind of God, how He sees it, because it'll set us free. That's truth. God bless you today, and looking forward to going through this series with you. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. Thank You, Father, for the freedom we have through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, all of us at one time can think about times when we were in over our heads, or maybe even now, some of us are thinking we're in over our head. We don't feel very free. And there were moments, Father, where it just feels like I can't move. And yet, when we call out to You, when we ask You to come save us, You show up. You help us get out of our cell. Father, I don't know what all of us are, but I know, Father, You have an open door in front of us. And You want us to experience peace and confidence and joy and adventure that only Your freedom can provide. I pray all of us here will become very curious about why we feel what we feel, and we'll just go after that and dissect that and somehow find Your truth and begin to make those adjustments so we can live as free people in Your Son. That's provided by the cross. We thank You and praise You, Father, for this morning. We offer up this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Here's my burden, Jesus, take it now. Here's my heart, I simply lay it down. Well, I'm not strong enough to stand on my own. I'm not wise enough to make it alone. So here's my life, Lord Jesus, take it now. Here's my will, I simply lay it down. Well, I'm not strong enough to stand on my own. not wise enough to make it alone. I'm falling back into your arms. I have found my home. Here's my burden, Jesus, take it now. Here's my heart, I simply lay it down. Well, I'm not strong enough to stand on my own, and I'm not wise enough to make it alone. So here's my life, Lord Jesus, take it now. Here's my will, I simply lay it down. Well, I'm not strong to stand on my own, and I'm not wise enough to make it alone. I'm falling back into your arms. I have found my home. I'm falling back into your arms. I have found